Proverbs chapter number 22, we're going to talk about a different ministry that we have. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go.
Let me start again. Now that I have my microphone on, Victor, go at it. Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I like this verse partly because I have it memorized, so I think of it a lot, but partly because when it says train up a child in the way he should go, we're going to look at some verses in Ephesians, pretty familiar verses, but this one isn't specifically addressed to parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. We have an important ministry in our lives. As believers, you know, the scripture is filled with commissions, ministries, opportunities of service that we have. One of them, the most famous, is probably the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That is one ministry that is given to every Christian, not just a select few. I believe another ministry that we have today as Christians is to train children in the ways of the Lord. To train children in the ways of the Lord. We're celebrating graduation tonight from Lake Ontario Baptist Academy, and we have five graduates who have gone through, I don't know how many have gone through the whole program. Maybe. But man, years and years in Christian education. Why here at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy? It's not for the quality of our sports program. It's not for that. Or the fine arts department. Praise the Lord. We got the football soccer team. We got Brother Roger coming in, putting on a play. Great play we had, the choir. We love it. But when you compare it to some of the millions of dollars that are spent on other programs, that's not why we're here. We're here because we want to train children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Right. Teach them their academics at the same time, but focused on Christ. That's a ministry. It's more than just my kids that are here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm investing my life. Praise the Lord, He's called me and allowed me to serve in this ministry, but to invest into the lives of other people's children.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a call as Christians to train children in the ways of the Lord. You think about this summer, with school letting out, you might see more kids out and about. I don't know if you live in town. You might have kids going up and down the streets and bicycles and you know, laughing and joking. You could be the guy who looks out the window and says, what are those kids doing on my, what are they up to? Why are they on my yard? Where's, I got to call, the somebody's got to know. What are these kids doing? Where are their parents? What time is, or you could say, hey, here's an opportunity I can use to outreach to some of these kids. You might go to a parade this summer, surrounded by people. I'm not saying you have to come with 5,000 tracks, get there a half hour early, make sure everybody gets a track, but could you look at the people next to you, to your right, and to your left, and see the kids that are sitting there, and say, God, give me an opportunity to break through with the gospel of Jesus Christ to these kids. There's a lot of wicked people in this world. And you might see some adults, they are cold, they are hard, they are set in their ways. They could be ministered. Paul himself could come and preach him the gospel, and they would laugh in his face. Now, God still changes people, praise the Lord. You never give up on those people. Keep praying, keep witnessing, keep going. Some of them might be your family and loved ones. Don't give up on them, because God is the miracle worker who can change people's hearts. Amen. But young people are just so sensitive to the gospel. And you, the parents have the biggest part, the most important influence, but there's opportunities for you to minister in the lives of other kids, not your own.
Yeah.
Look for those opportunities to train children in the work of the Lord. The highest numbers of children who continue into their adulthood attending church are those who are engaged in the church and serve with their family. They are engaged in ministries of the church themselves, and then they serve alongside their family. There are some kids who come to church who don't have family here. You know what they need? They need a family member here at church, a spiritual family member who's going to serve alongside them and care for them and teach them in the way of the Lord. There are some kids who, you know, sometimes parents, we get a little prickly when this other kid shows up. You know, it's not one of the kids that you know. It's not from one of the families that you like or know.
Yeah.
And there's this new kid who doesn't necessarily talk the way your kids might talk or dress the way your kids dress. You know what that kid needs? They need someone to serve alongside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone to take them into the ministry. Someone to teach them the Word of God and show them the love of Christ. Not to say, ooh, I don't want you hanging out with... No, no, you stay on that side of the room, and my kids and us, we're going to stay on this side of the room. Or that person will not continue. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. I want to ask you this morning, challenge you as a parent or as an outreach, do you have long-term spiritual goals for your kids? A lot of this stuff lends itself naturally to parents, but remember throughout the message that our ministry to train children in the work of the Lord extends beyond just parents instructing their children. It's Christians instructing the next generation how to please God, how to seek God, how to serve God. And we all have a part in it. Do you have a vision for the young people in your life? You might have a neighborhood kid, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, someone you see in the church house maybe who just seems a little bit ostracized, someone in the community, a co-worker's kids, where you try to reach the co-worker maybe again and again and again, and they're just a brick wall. So, hey, you know what we have coming up this year? We have Vacation Bible School. Now, in your head, you're thinking, I know there's no way you're going to darken the doors of the church, but can I pick up your kid?
Right.
They know you. They trust you. That's a little different than Miss Colopy or Seth knocking on their door with a bus flyer. Who's this stranger who wants to get my kid this week to get on a bus and take him to someplace I've never been with people I don't know? We're going to keep doing that. Praise the Lord, some people say yes, and they get on the bus, and they're here.
Right.
But you'll have a much better opportunity if it's Jim and Bob from work. We know each other. We've been sitting across from each other 15 years. You know my wife. You know my family. Can I bring your kid to VBS this week?
Right.
Maybe we'll stop for lunch on the way home, drop them off back at the house. Good. Or you could just worry about, I know all the craziness. It's hard enough getting my own kids out of bed and getting them here on time and getting the stuff done. But we need a vision.
Yeah.
Is there a vision in your heart, not just for your own kids, but what are you trying to instill in the young people around you in your life? Are you even looking? Do you think about it? Do you care about it? Ephesians chapter number 6, of course we love verse number 1. My kids might hear this a time or two. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Right.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our responsibility is to bring up children in the nurture an admonition of the Lord. That nurture comes with love. It comes with support. It comes with caring. It comes with compassion and charity. That's when you honestly care about that child. And you want to see God change their life. When you really care, if it gets hard, if the kid gets a little moody, if the parents kick back a little, you care though. And you're willing to push through that thing. You're willing to invest more. And you're showing love to that child. And the admonition of the Lord. That comes with some of the instruction and sometimes correction as we lead children in the Lord. Colossians chapter number 3 tells us about, let's go over that real close. Colossians chapter 3 verse number 20 tells us that we should, children, once again, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse number 21, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. There is a tendency, when you know the right way, to want to just discipline. Get on, this is, no, that's wrong, this is right. Kids need discipline. There's no doubt about that, all right? But it says, provoke them not to anger, lest they be, what's the last word of the verse?
Discouraged.
When I look at kids, especially kids outside the church, you know what you see?
Yeah.
You see a lot of discouraged kids. They have moments of joy. They get a new present. They get to hang out with a friend for the afternoon. But overall, their life is full of discouragement. Who cares? Who knows what's going on? Who can help me? Who can teach me? I'm fending for myself. I don't understand. They need spiritual fathers who will encourage them in the work of the Lord. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. This is all introduction. Praise the Lord. You know what's going to happen, though? Every day, every Sunday, I should say, about 12:15, my eyes start closing whether I want them to or not. Because my body knows it's Sunday afternoon and it's time to get a nap. So I will be done. Don't get nervous. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I love this example in Scripture. We don't see this very often. When Paul is instructing Timothy, his spiritual son in the Lord, not physical, but a spiritual son, that idea of taking people under your wing, even if they're not your own children, and caring for them and instructing them, he talks about the example that Timothy was given. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, we're in verse number 5, 2 Timothy 1, 5, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. You know what I love about that verse? Seeing the generations. Yep. I love that. I am a result of my parents who came to church. I started attending here before I can even remember. I don't even know the exact year. I imagine it's right about the time I was born. Where's my dad's in Sunday school this morning? So I can say whatever I want. And he's not here to. You know. No, it was right about the time I was born. My parents got saved, started coming to church, and have been here ever since. And I found out years ago that my grandparents even attended here in brief spurts. They weren't as faithful as my parents have been, but they had some time here in the church. Now I'm here, and now my kids are here. That's four generations of people serving the Lord in just this church. Amen. What a blessing that is. But you know what that came with? That came with a lot of nurture and admonition and training and compassion and discipline. It doesn't happen by chance. Now, once again, our natural attitude is to say, well, yes, my kids. And that's your first priority. It's your family, the people that God has given you. But as much as we need to reach out for lost souls who aren't saved, of adults and people who can make that decision, there is millions and millions of children being raised in families and households that are in direct opposition to the things of God. So when you reach them at the door, or later on in life when you get a chance to talk to them, they're not starting at neutral. They have been under the nurture and admonition of something for those 12, 16, 18, 25 years before you get to knock on their door. They are not neutral. They are heavily influenced on the demonic side of the equation. So when you knock on the door and bring them Christ, it's not like it's just, oh, I never... No, they have already been indoctrinated against those things. That's why it's so critical that we start sooner. I can't control the parents, but I can sure try to reach the lives of the children.
Yes.
We can try. And that's what I'm challenging you to do today, to spend some time in prayer and ask God, God, what can I do? Where is my open door? Where's my opportunity to reach? What soul could I touch?
Yeah.
Think about it. Pray about it. Seek God about it. And then put it into action. Because they don't always have a Eunice and the Lois
right.
that have been teaching them for generations. That is getting more and more and more rare. Often we're meeting first-generation Christians. Because as that a church attendance number plummets, that's all churches. That's less and less people who even know about God, know the things of God, know how to pray, know who Jesus Christ is. They hear his name all the time, but they have no reason why, what he did, and what his death means. We need to be reaching out. There are critical lessons that children need to know. I challenge you in your own family, take opportunities to talk with your kids about spiritual things. You know, we had our Talents for Christ competition here at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. It was a great time, for me at least. The kids, I think a lot of them had fun. Some of them were stressed out. Some of that was their own fault for waiting to the last minute to do it, but they only had 2 months to prepare. But this is just the principal venting. All right, that's all that is. All right. The day, you know, I helped my daughter with her. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's okay. She wrote a short story, and what did you end up titling it? What's the Point? And it was a short story. It was two girls discussing church. Like, one is encouraging the other to come to church, and the question was, you know, what's the point? I'm already saved. Why go? You know what reading that little story did? Now, sadly, she's here. It let me see a little bit about how she thinks. If I was to ask Anna, why do we come to church? Her writing out that story gave me a little bit of insight into what she thinks about church. Now, I should just ask more often and get to know. But that's part of the step of time that it takes. We want to tell kids, no, just go to church. No, you need to come to church. The church is going to be good. Come to church. Come to church. Well, why? What am I learning? Why am I here? That takes the spiritual father. The Sunday school teacher can't cover that every week and every lesson with every kid. It takes that person who's there day after day, praying for them, seeking out, reaching them, who's going to teach them the things of God. Now, one of the missions, one of the lessons, I don't know how many we'll get to because we have about 15 minutes left, praise the Lord, but I'm going to get to as many as I can. First off, the first lesson children need to learn, I wanted you to see how critically important it is. And what a great responsibility we have, and what great need there is to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And we just can't sit by and hope it's all going to work out in the end, because it's not. The devil is currently winning. The numbers are dropping and plummeting.
Yeah.
Numbers in suicide, drug addiction, all that are going way up.
Right.
The craziness that's being taught in schools about identity and education, it's just corrupting kids at a younger and younger age.
Right.
Remember when we were dealing with in this state, they wanted to start introducing it in kindergarten. When I reach that kid at 12, how do they think already? When I was on the bus, I might have told this story, I was a high schooler, sometimes my car was broken, we rode the Brockport bus. So left here with the high schoolers, got on the bus, got to North Star Christian Academy, and then by the time we left, I rode home with the middle school and elementary ages, like the little kids, because they left school later. And man, sometimes the conversations the little kids were having.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in 99, 2000. That's before more and more of this stuff is getting pushed down their throats. We can't wait.
No.
We need to be proactive and seek out opportunities to serve and teach young people. But the first lesson, go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, I honestly just plan on getting to two of the points. I did have a plan this morning. The first one is that you are made in the image of God.
Amen.
You are made in the image of God. If you need a place to start with young people,
right,
let them know that they are not an accident.
Right.
Their life is not a mistake. They're not a result of some chemical explosion that happened, that they are created in the image of God, and with that creation comes a purpose and a plan. Those two are so closely linked together. Verse number 27 of Genesis chapter number 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. The first part said created he him. But they are created in God's image. Life is not an accident. It's not a mistake. Some kids have been told they were an accident, or they were a mistake, or they were something their parents regret. God says, no, you are made in my image, and your life is precious. There is a humanistic mindset that is everywhere, and it pervades every part of our culture. Because when God is removed, man is exalted. And when man is abased, God can be exalted.
Right.
I think there's some verses in the Bible that talk something about that. But as man is being exalted, it just contaminates who people are and what the value in their life is. I was just telling someone in the kitchen the other day, I saw a video, a lady is talking to her, she's pregnant. She's talking to the stomach, the baby that's inside. She's pro-choice, which is pro-killing, right? Telling the fetus, you're only here because I'm letting you live. I'm giving you this gift of life, and I could take it at any time. I said, how messed up would that kid be if they saw that video someday in the future? If she decides to even let it happen? See what happens? We're getting towards things that preachers have been warning about, that I've listened to preachers talk about when I was a kid, and they said preachers have warned them about when they were kids. That when God is removed from society, it gets more and more and more extreme. And people don't just want to take one little step. It's how it works. You gotta, you know, we're just in Pride Month. Ooh, glory to God for Pride Month. It's not enough just to close your mouth now and let it just happen. It's, no, now you have to be part of it. There was a story about some baseball players wanted to take the symbol off their jerseys. We can't support it. No, that's not enough anymore. You can't just, I'm not protesting. I'm not telling you why it's wrong. I just want to be quiet and not support it. Nope, not enough. Now you've got to be part of it. Now you have to endorse it. And if you don't support it, then you're against it.
Right.
It's not enough. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper and darker and darker and darker. And it starts with God being removed out of the picture.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When man is God, man decides what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Children need to know, no. Your life is created by God.
Amen.
And the value that comes with that, the mission that comes with that, the importance that comes with that. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. There is something much bigger at life and their work, I mean in their life, than just their job, who they're going to be when they grow up, how much money they're going to make, what career they want, who their parents are, how many kids they want, where they want to live. There's something much bigger at play in their lives, and that is the work of God that God wants to do in their hearts. Children need to understand that their life is not their own. It belongs to God, and that God has a plan and a purpose for it. Ephesians chapter number 1, I didn't turn there. Look at verse number 5 with me. Having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And if you read through some more of these verses, it talks about the will of God that is at work. Children need to understand that their lives are subject to the will of God. Not even just in the way it might sound like, hey, you better obey because he's in charge. But that your life has value in his eyes. And that when you were created, it was according to a plan that he has. As the God of all eternity sees the infinite and eternity past from the creation of time and can see much further than we could ever hope to understand into the future, to the end of time, that God can see the whole picture at work and his plan from the beginning to the end. And in part of that plan is that child. You have a part to play in the plan of God. You know what kind of value that brings to someone? You know what kind of value that puts on life? It's not mine to take. God gave the life. It's precious. It's his. It's my job to nurture it, to give it opportunity to grow. We love trying new things at our house. One of the things is a garden and plants, right? Why is my wife laughing? Because we know what happens. And you have probably had the same experience, right? Big plans, you get lots of plants. You're trying to nurture, but you don't even know how. And you put some water in, you put some sun there. Is that good? It looks like it's dying. You stick it in the microwave, see if it perks up. No, we didn't do that. All right? And what do you have to do with that stuff when it's fragile, when it's small? Now, there are some big old trees. And as a kid, I remember sometimes, you know, you're just walking through the woods with a hatchet and you just swing away at a tree a little bit. And it's like this 60-year-old tree. My little mark doesn't do anything. It's not going anywhere. It can take some abuse, right? There could be a giant storm and it could still be there tomorrow. But when you got that little plant, it's my wife tried to put him outside when it first got a little nice. Remember this, lady?
Yeah.
Little seedlings out and... I might have warned her, hey.
Yeah.
Oh. I get home and I see dirt around the steps. What happened? Oh, the wind came, threw all the things around. I got to start over. That same, the tree in our side of our yard, it didn't care about the wind. But that little plant, when we look at children, they are so tender. And as many times as they can get frustrating and be disobedient and whine and never be satisfied and all the things that you could think about to complain and get angry and get frustrated, through all of that is a tender soul that is part of the eternal plan of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have an opportunity to guide them a little bit down that path.
Yeah.
Or we could sit back and let the school do it.
Right.
Or let Netflix and Disney do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can get involved.
Right.
We joke at our house when we're watching a Disney movie, because you can tell what's coming. As much as you can predict a Hallmark romance movie, just about anyone in this room could write one of those, and you'd never know. The Disney movies are the same. You know when it's going to happen. Follow your heart. The truth was in you this whole time. The one I like was, you are the answer that, or I am the answer I was seeking, or something like that. That you are the answer to the problem that you have. Like, it sounds so nice, but it's so incredibly shallow and hollow and empty and leads people, because if it makes me feel good or feel right, then it's good. If you love me, you have to accept everything about me. And my heart will be my God. No!
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God teaches.
Right.
But who's telling them that? Who's the one warning them? Oh, your heart, yeah, it can lead you. It can feel love and joy and happiness. But you know what else your heart feels? Anger, hatred, selfishness, bitterness. Murderers are following their heart. Don't always follow your heart. You follow God's word as the principle. And that's the second point. God's word is the foundation. God's word is the foundation. Children, they're, like I said, they're not starting at zero. They're not in a vacuum chamber waiting for someone to reach them with the gospel. The whole time they're not under the teaching of God. Even when they are under the teaching of God, sadly, they're under the teaching of the world at the same time.
Yes,
and it's a constant struggle back and forth. Sadly, the time with Christ and God's teachings is so little compared to the time they have under the world's teachings.
Right.
I don't know all of your families well, but I couldn't imagine sending my kids to a public school. Just couldn't imagine it. Not just for the safety issues, but just the absolute corruption and filth that's coming through the teaching.
Yeah.
And then to be surrounded by everyone else who believes those same things. I mean, it's hard enough to get Christian kids to do the right thing.
Right.
Let alone leave my kids around the influence of people who don't care about or don't have respect. I was just walking through a garage sale. I love garage sales. The other day. And the people I taught, they didn't even acknowledge that I was there. I could have just taken everything and left. I don't think they even knew. There were two teachers having one was in school administration. I'm just guessing based on the conversation. And the other one was a teacher. And they're going back and forth. They're, you know, using all kind of foul language and stuff. I don't even think they knew I was there. And there's no respect. That's so right. They don't listen to the teachers. You know it. I could tell you. And that's just lost people talking about the problems that are out there and the corruption and just the issues in society. Christians, we need to focus children around the Word of God. It is our guide. It is what teaches us what is right and wrong. Not our heart, not our conscience, not the culture of the day. It's the Word of God. The spiritual growth of your child is the most important growth they can have. The spiritual relationship your children have with God is the most important relationship they have. I don't mind sports, academics, athletics, social fitting, financial goals. Oh, great. How's your spiritual walk? That's the focus. When that is right, everything else falls into place.
Right.
When that is wrong, everything else falls apart.
Right.
Focus the children around God and His Word. These are extremes, though. Because, you know, we get some memos and some emails from, like, corporate execs at Disney talking about how much they've been in the years trying to incorporate a pride agenda secretly. And those things have been leaking out. I don't know if you follow, if you know. They've been admitting this has been going on for years. And one lady was saying she's so surprised. She thought she would have to hide it when she got there. And she was just willingly able to just put it in. And it was, like, so accepted. And she was so happy. But that's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. And it's getting ingrained. This is just one topic, too. Kind of the easy pickings at the top of the pile. But it goes so much deeper than that stuff. And that indoctrination happens again and again and again and again, hour after hour, spending 6-7 hours at school, spending 2 or 3 in front of the television, hanging out with friends who don't have good influences, and then we bring them to Sunday school for an hour and hope, okay, they'll be good now. You're putting 1 hour up against 8 to 10 every day, teaching them the opposite? Who's going to win that battle? Who's going to win the battle?
Yeah.
Now, I can't go pull my neighbor's kids out of school and say, hey, this isn't the best place. But I can add some more time to the good side of that equation. We can inject the Word of God.
Yeah.
So at least it's not all one-sided. There's some thought there. They see that religion isn't just, you know, that's what my grandmother used to do. I remember that when she went to church, and she brought me that one time, and I just had to sit there and not talk, and it's horrible. I don't even know. You say, God is much bigger than that, and He cares about you so much more deeply than that.
Yeah.
If we're going to teach children something, teach them they're made in the image of God, and with that comes God's plan at work in their lives.
Right.
Teach them that the Bible is the foundation of life. It is the only true guide we should be listening to. That it is God's instruction for everyone. Go with me, we'll end here. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Oh, there were some good verses in Acts we didn't look at. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, or strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So basic. But it covers so much of a person's life. It's like one of those verses that affects you every day, in every situation, in every word that comes out of your mouth, and every thought that you have. This verse should affect that. Take that away from someone's life. What Jesus says are the two great commandments. If to sum up the scripture in two commandments, this is it. Take that out of someone's life. Tell them that they're the most important thing that there is. Tell them that there is no God.
Yeah, right.
And then what are you left with? When God says these are the two most important things, love God with everything and seek Him with everything that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. One and two. If you're, God says, if you're to build your life around something as a Christian, you know, obviously we're talking salvation, but that, you know, even that can fall into this. But because you got to restore that relationship with God to even to follow him, right? So that's built into this thing. But your whole life is built around these two principles. Everything you can do, follow this, follow this, follow this, follow this. And then we come along and say, or the world comes along and says, no, you don't need that. Let me adjust that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's rewrite that for modern culture and standards. What are people left with to follow? It's not a slow chipping away. It's an outright yank the carpet out from underneath everything. And now figure out your life. Figure out why you're here. Figure out what purpose your life has. What value does she have? What value does he have? How do you look at other people when you take these principles away? We like to think, I say we, more of a humanistic mindset, that we do good just because it's good. That we'll do right because it's right. We naturally just want to help each other. And we do have those instincts that I believe God has built into us. But so often, those things lose to our flesh and our selfish desires. God is here reminding us, love him, love others, seek him, focus your life around this. Now, it's different in people's life what it looks like. We got Brother Kaiser traveling around, throwing 80 pounds of chocolate at every kid he can see. Why? To let him know somebody loves him. And that more than him, God loves them. We got Brother Miguel back there working in the city. Some people you'd be scared probably to go up to and talk with. I'm guessing you have run into some rough people, brother. But you know what rough people need? They need the love of God. They need the word of God just like everybody else does. They need to know that their life fits into the plan of God. And they might have missed big chunks of it, but it's time to get plugged in. And then you might look at some of the nicer suburban housing tracts around here. You see the kids out on their $3,000, $5,000 playgrounds, riding around, you know, electric scooters and mopeds everywhere and talking about their big family vacation. And you know what those kids need?
Yeah.
They need to know that Jesus loves them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that their life is more than what they have and who their friends are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's part of the plan of God.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Their soul has an eternal value. And that the word of God needs to be the foundation of their life. There's like six more points in this message. But that's all we're going to do today. I encourage you today. My prayer for you is that today you pray and ask God to let that thought sink down deep into your soul that I need to reach the children in my life. If I don't have any, I need to find them. Because they're out there. And it might take stepping a little bit outside of my circle to find that person. Pray this morning. Ask God, God, who can I reach with your word? Inside the church, outside of the church. Inside my family, outside of my family. What soul can I touch? Who needs some extra love and nurture and admonition in the Lord? What can I do maybe this summer when there's kids around? Maybe you know you have events coming up. They're planned. They're already in the calendar. I know I'm going to be there. Now, I'm attending this parade for fun. God, what can I do for you while I'm there? What kid could I minister to? VBS is coming. What can I do? Camps are coming. What can I do, God? Not, oh, thankful it's going to come, it's going to go. Whew, it's going to be crazy. What am I going to do to be a part of it? What is my actions going to do to change the lives of one of these children and get them closer to the plan that God has for their lives? Pray about it. We can come up with great ideas. We can come up with no ideas. But when the Holy Spirit guides and touches your heart, that's the thing. That's the ticket you're looking for. This is what I can do. We're going to have a time of prayer right now. I invite you to stand to your feet. As Mrs. Huber comes to the piano, we're going to have a time of invitation. The first challenge, God, who is it? What's What's the mission? Who's the child I can reach out for? Second challenge, after you know who it is, what am I going to do? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I invite you to come as the piano plays. Ask God this morning, what can I do? Who can I minister to? I know they're out there, God. I know it. There's children all around me. I see them, I hear them, but I don't know how to reach them. God, give me a way to reach them. If we do not reach them with the gospel, the world will eat them up and spit them out, and the next generation will be worse than the current one. We can't reach them all, but there's someone in your life that you can reach with the gospel.